Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to go to rugby heaven? Let's go back to 1987 with Squidge, with Squidge. Let's go back to 87 with Squidge.
Hello and welcome to the Squidge My Wife retrospective podcast.
My wife.
The only, yes, I was say the only rugby Borat podcast. Today we are not going to, we're making a slight departure from, yeah. Normally we talk about rugby from bloody ages ago. Today we have decided instead to focus on the greatest moment, I think, in modern rugby history.
Yeah, sure. So we're going to something that happened as we record it yesterday.
Yes.
As Paul McCartney would talk about it, he would describe it as being yesterday.
And very much that's relevant, because that song came to Paul McCartney famously in a dream.
Yes.
And this, I'm pretty sure I dreamt, because yeah. It is the thing I've always wanted most of my life.
Yeah,
and I just
yeah.
didn't know it until it happened.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And much like Paul McCartney, who went around trying to search and find if he'd ever heard this song before
yeah.
yesterday when it came to him in the dream.
Yeah.
I went around trying to work out if I'd seen this before, and I had not. I no. had not seen this before. We so, are, of course, talking about the one... I was going to say the one and only pass Roman Antonov made yesterday. That is
not true.
That's not a fact.
He made a few.
He made quite a
few. We're focusing on one, and it wasn't just the one-off one to Dante.
It is the one pass everyone knows, remembers, and will talk about in years to come.
Yes.
It is maybe my favourite moment I've seen in a rugby pitch.
Coupled
in
with
years.
His run?
Yeah. So, for anyone unaware, in the 61st minute of the France v New Zealand game on the 20th of November, 2021.
For anyone listening in 2050.
Roman Antomac made a run from his own try line and passed the ball.
Yes.
And yet, to say it as such, does not do the moment justice.
He caught the ball behind his try line and chose not to kick it. You think that's pretty underwhelming, mm. right? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I had this idea that we could do a Squidge Rugby Roman Antomac blind pass retrospective yesterday while I was on the way to the pub to meet my friend Ben for his 25th birthday. And important
Happy
detail about that.
To him.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you on his behalf. Vicky McClure was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Famed actress and star of This Is England.
Yeah, yeah. She was really pissed.
Really? She?
Like, yeah, yeah. There was a point where she got up and started dancing to Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Nice.
There was a few other tunes.
Yeah, Let's Dance.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
David.
There was Celebrations by Cole and the Gang she was really
nice.
Going for. Yeah,
was
yeah.
Was this in town?
Free From Desire. No, it was in Beeston.
In Beeston? She
yeah,
was in
yeah.
Beeston?
Yeah.
Was she with Shane Meadows, who of course lives in Beeston?
No, he wasn't there.
He wasn't
it
there.
It was at the Malt Shovel in Beeston.
Right, okay. I've never been.
No. It's
but I'm
going to
go the whole
best,
time now that
fine,
Vicky McClure's hanging out.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I think she had a friend whose birthday it was as well.
Right.
And
okay.
she was pretty drunk.
Vicky McClure was in
so,
Beeston
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah. Well, she's
Man.
Local, isn't she? So
yeah, I didn't know she was from Beeston. I thought she was from Tow to.
Oh, she's from nearby.
She lives in Tow and doesn't. This is not interesting.
No, it's not right. But anyway, I turned up to the pub and my friend was like,
anyone,
oh yeah, Vicky McClure's over there smoking a fag.
For anyone who is into Roman Antomac passes and lives in Nottingham and is interested in local geography.
Yeah.
This is fascinating and local celebrities. For anyone aware, Vicky McClure is a British actress. She was in Line
yes.
of Duty, I guess.
Yes.
Also well known for that now. And she's from Nottingham. Did she get the
Seems
tram
like
there,
a nice
do you think?
I don't know, you know.
You know, famously, she has the tram named after her.
Oh, of course she does. Yeah, I've
and
been on that
she,
tram, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know the story about the first day it was opened?
No.
She was told to open her tram, like, to go and, like, cut the ribbon.
Ah, yeah.
And then she thought, this is brilliant, though. It runs by my house, so I'm getting the tram home. And she got fined for fare dodging on it. She thought the tram's named after me. I don't have to pay on this.
I'll tell you what, whichever...
how she does.
Whichever, like, tram warden got on and was like, no, famous celebrity actress Vicky McClure, you cannot ride your own tram for free. Pay me £50 right now. Do you want to do it by card or check?
I want to say, Vicky McClure, if you're listening and you fancy talking about Canada against Tonga in the 1987 Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, we've got that episode.
Please drop me a line. Please, we'll keep that spare for you.
But yeah, we're not talking about... This is why our podcast surpassed 100,000 listeners, because we talk about stuff like this.
Vicky McClure at length, but, yes. Yeah. No, so the point is the Roman Undermac pass.
Yes.
Right? I'm Robbie or Squidge or whatever from the Squidge Rugby YouTube channel. I'm joined by Rugby Pass and other rugby writer person.
Yeah, Will Owen, that's me. Yeah, Will Owen. Yeah, Will is like hyphenated. I was previously called Will Owen Rugby Person, but I've changed my name.
Yeah. Will Owen, do we know yet?
That's a great question. I saw a tweet the other day that said, your Twitter handle will come true in 2022. I was like, so will Owen or won't Owen? We might finally find out. So stay tuned, folks.
I really feel for that goat, though. So we have drawn up a load of angles on and different commentaries and so on the Roman Undermac pass.
Yes.
I believe you have only seen... Obviously, the comment happened live, and we shouted over top of that.
Yes.
So
we both made extremely loud noises.
We should probably set the scene for. So the pass comes at a really, and I'm sure everyone listening to this has probably seen it.
Yeah.
If only on Twitter, or they've listened to the scene. Watching the match live.
The clip that's gone round on Twitter of that pass, you could have watched 15 times by now while listening to this podcast, I think.
Yeah, and why haven't you?
Yeah.
I have. I will. I intend to. That, of course, has Nick Heath commentating, friend of the pod. Been on his podcast.
Yeah, legend.
Yep. So we've got, you know, there's a few different commentaries out there. The one that went out live at the time had Conor McNamara calling it on Amazon Prime. And, of course, we haven't heard his commentary because we shouted over the top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to set the scene, it's, a really crucial moment in the match.
Yeah.
France completely dominate the first half.
Yeah.
The All Blacks then come back into it and score three tries quite soon after one another.
Steal all of the momentum.
And yeah.
It looks like it's going to be their game after all, isn't it?
You can't see a way for France back into this game. Like,
no.
It feels gone, done. You know, you don't know what's gonna turn the game.
Especially, you know, it's weird, I'm talking about this like it was 30 years ago.
Yes.
They find Rico Ioane and Will Jordan on the outside, and Jordan, who is in prolific try-scoring form, chips the ball over the top.
How many times have you seen this clip?
Quite a few.
How have you not noticed the exact personnel by now?
Is it Jordy Barrett?
It's Jordy Barrett.
Okay.
Honestly, why am I doing this podcast with you?
Yeah, you're right. So it's Jordy Barrett chips it over, and you think, that chip couldn't be much better.
Yeah.
You know, he's forced Roman Undermac to play it, just short of his own try line. Yeah, this is going to be them.
He carries it back
over
his own line. And there are two All Blacks following up. One is Jordy Barrett himself. You've got Rico Ioane as well. And you've got a few others floating about, like really coming up on them. When Undermac decides to run it. So I think it's a really crucial moment of the game.
Yeah.
We were both dumbstruck by the fact that he would try and play out from there.
Yeah, so we can kind of go through this frame by frame, can't we?
Sure.
Because there's a point where he kind of brushes off the first one. You think, he's done very well there. Do well to get a left-footed kick away.
Exactly. You're thinking he's going to try and thunder it and like maybe get to like 7 or 8 metres.
Yeah.
You know, if he gets up to 22, he's done really well.
Even just as long as he gets a kick away, he's done well. As long as he's not forcing the ball for a scrum or, you know, worse yet, dropping it or something.
Yeah. Like, you don't want him, as I say, being smashed or having the ball ripped off him or something and Barrett scoring. Then he just glides around Barrett.
Yeah.
And it's not even he steps him, he glides around him.
Like, he doesn't notice he's there.
Barrett attempts to grab him and he doesn't even notice that Barrett kind of gets his shorts for a moment and falls off.
Undermac doesn't even make eye contact with him.
No.
He's just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna run.
He doesn't
in this
notice
fashion,
that
you know?
Barrett goes for him
at
all.
Forget the man I'm needing to step.
It's incredible.
Like, I'd have run this arc line anyway, even if there was nobody there trying to tackle me.
He then starts going down the wing and you're thinking, okay, this is pretty good.
Well.
And you start to look on his inside and see, like, okay, there's a guy coming up in spot offense, Fentral Cross.
Even before that, you think, oh my God, he's made a break here.
That is
a thing in itself. Because the fact he's gotten away from his trial line is one thing. And then when he's about 3 metres out from his trial line, he beats another man right next to the touchline. It reminded me, in that split second, of Kotaro Matsushima stepping
against
Ireland. I'm sure you had the exact same thought half a second. Carry on.
That's a phenomenal moment of him getting out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know?
And opportunity.
It doesn't really compare in comparison.
No.
And that was phenomenal with Matsushima in the World Cup, for anyone that hasn't seen it out there. World Rugby share clips of it every time Japan play. So it's worth googling.
Unbelievable.
Kotaro Matsushima against Ireland.
Yes.
It's brilliant. So that happens. He begins to run out, at which point he starts to, and you notice, start to fade inside. You think, oh, he's going to try and step the last cover. And that is the moment where I made a noise I have never made watching rugby before, and I can't quite remember what it was,
so,
but I knew it was new.
I'm going to talk, because we can probably remember each other's noises better than we remember our own, I would imagine. That Yours was kind of an... It was like a very flat O sound, but very loud. Mm. So it was like an ah, but like elongated. It wasn't like ah, it was like ah, but elongated and volume up to a point where you're breaking your speakers.
Because it wasn't a...
It was a different noise to what you usually make when you see
exactly.
a bit.
Exactly.
I know your noises that you make, as you do mine.
Yes.
You know.
We know each other's noise as well.
Yes, absolutely. And Benjamin Kayser's.
we're very familiar with those now. Yeah, whereas yours, I think, was closer to your normal noise.
I think it was.
It was far closer. It was like it was loud.
Yeah. I think mine developed into a laugh. It was kind of a ha ha ha.
Yeah,
it had those
breaks
in it. I know what you're about to say. Carry on.
We also both stood up on the sofa and were kind of limped over it.
I jumped like I was like in a mosh pit.
I was completely in disbelief at it.
Yeah.
I haven't reacted that viscerally to something in rugby since the World Cup, at least.
Yeah.
But possibly ever.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
It was very involuntary, just getting taken away by a moment in a sport where somebody did a thing with a rubbery ball, and it was cool enough that we not only made noises about it, but our bodies did things.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
So whilst you're at the pub with Vicky McClure...
Yes.
I spoke on the phone to one Mr. Connor Wibble Rugby.
Oh, okay. Nice guy.
Yeah, lovely.
Friend of the pod.
Wonderful guy. Would have been on the pod by now. Will be on the pod at some point soon.
Yes.
Who is a very lovely man and a very, very good analyst. And
knows
always feel
too much
death.
About rugby for us to be friends with him.
Yes. Just see also, like, six people.
Anybody.
Everyone else has a different excuse. So, I spoke to Connor and, you know, he said, like, he was going to call me at half time. And I didn't because I needed a wee. These are the great anecdotes that we wanted to do this podcast for. So I did have a wee, and it was quite a long wee.
So, tell me more about the wee. What kind of colour was it?
It was quite a long wee.
Okay,
long
fair
wee.
Enough.
And...
You've got to pay for the Patreon to get those contents.
So, Connor rang me, and because he'd said, like, oh, we've got too much to run over here. I want to, you know, talk about the game properly and so on.
Yeah.
And he rang me, and we both just started laughing instead of saying anything at the start, because we didn't quite know how to go. And both of us agree that's probably the most we've enjoyed a rugby match, just like...
Yeah.
And pure spectacle and enjoyment in a long time.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I properly enjoyed a game like
that. And that's made me reflect well on the Autumn Nations series, you know, after, you know, kind of hating the Lions series and stuff. I think that's slightly put my joy in rugby a lot back where it should be.
And
that's
like,
a good sentence.
Not to get too daylighted upon magic, but I often, by the end of any campaign in the rugby, like the end of a Six Nations, end of a Autumn, end of a Lions, because I'm working and I'm doing so many hours, like during the Six Nations in particular, like I was working about 19-hour days, like 6 days a week, and it was insane and unhealthy.
Yeah. If not 9 days a week.
Yes. Which is one more than the Beatles.
Yeah,
so really
I was
going to
say,
Paul McCartney
never did that.
Well, he had to go and sleep so he could have inspiration for his songs, didn't he?
Very true.
It's
a very healthy man.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Poor.
Mondays
in that.
So, that's one of his finest pieces of work as well.
Yes.
Meetfreemondays.com. We don't have to do this.
I thought we did,
we don't. It's not the Paul McCartney Meet Free Mondays song. Retrospective.
Okay.
Yes. We shall do that.
Not yet.
We shall get to that.
Okay.
No, so, but I often find myself quite burnt out on rugby by the end of the competition.
Yeah.
And this completely undid all of that. Like, I just want rugby.
I guarantee you're looking forward to making this video at the end
very
of
much,
a,
very
know,
much,
campaign.
Which we'll get onto. This will probably go out before that.
Yeah.
Before the video's done. I've only got the intro at this point.
There's one thing that we forgot to mention when we spoke about the noises that we made.
Oh, yes.
We watched this game together in our home. We obviously live separately, but, you know, home. And our mother was present, and she watched most of the game, enjoyed France winning, and then decided she was going to bed. And she got halfway up the stairs, and then Romain Lintermat caught the ball behind his try line. We then made noises, and she came straight back downstairs and said, okay, I'm not missing whatever that is. I've not heard you make a noise like that before. And demanded to watch it. And
it was either she came back downstairs or she called the police.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So it was one or the other. And could have been both, you know.
I mean,
I wonder why that car's outside.
I was about to say, before I got taken up in the moment, to Romain Lintermat, oh, behave, when he started running up behind his own trial line.
Yeah.
I was opening my mouth to say that, then it just became weird noises.
Yeah. It then just became like Radiohead, you know.
Yeah, exactly. They are the best band.
So, yeah, they're all right. But anyway, so She came back downstairs, said, right, I've got to see, a replay. Can you rewind? It was like, no, we can't rewind it, but they'll show a replay. They showed a replay of him running out, but they didn't show a replay of the pass.
Yeah.
They didn't show a reverse angle of the pass, and that was really annoying. So it was like, you've got to take our word for this.
So,
because nothing could have done justice to how amazing that was, considering the noises you just heard
but
him make.
They showed about four angles of Wokey running it. They showed two angles of Ardie Savea flopping over the ball.
Yeah.
But they didn't show the pass.
You had to describe the pass, and like, you could never do justice to that because you're a human being.
Yeah,
you're
who isn't Roman Antomar?
You're not a pass by a Frenchman with a really nice bit of hair.
Can I... Right, this is honestly true. The first thing I did when I woke up this morning was type Roman Antomar into YouTube.
Did you have a boner?
I don't need to go that for disclosure.
Okay.
But quite possibly.
Hang on, shake your head or nod at me. Okay.
You know. Everyone at home knows as well. I watched several clips of Roman Antomar. There is a try he scored against New Zealand that's quite similar to the one he scored last night as well in the under-20s.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and there's a lot of him just watching him in the under-20s and him being like, oh, he's good, he's almost as good as his dad.
Yeah.
And now you look at him going like, no, he's better than his dad ever was.
Just like, oh, remember the fact he has a dad?
I hope we get like this endless dynasty of Antomars. And, like, every 20 years we have a new one come along.
I've just remembered he's got a younger brother, Teo, hasn't he?
Yeah, who, by this point, though, by Teo's age, Roman Antomar had been the best full half at the World Cup.
Yeah.
So,
fair point. Valid point.
But
not
counting
him out by any stretch. But...
No, I mean, look, in order to play lock for France, he's got to go off and play for Loughborough Uni's fifths first.
It's very true.
You know. Did you know about
Thibaut Flamand?
Yeah, I was about to say Thibaut Flamand.
Yeah.
Did you know he used to play for Loughborough Uni's fifth to fly off?
It's mad because I was the person who first told you that story.
Yeah, you were.
And I got that satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that's the only time you've ever enjoyed that story.
It keeps coming up though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is a great
keeps
story
coming up.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm glad that he played fly half and was really tall.
I'm glad he played for the fifths.
So, what I'm going to do now is we're going to watch a variety of commentaries.
Yes.
On the try back,
I've only seen the original commentary on it and the Nick Heath commentary on it. I don't remember the original one. So the Nick Heath one is the only one I'm really familiar with. So
yeah.
This is quite an exciting moment for me to hear these.
So we're going to begin with the French commentary. I'm not sure who the French commentators were. They were for France too. But I'm going to begin with the ball getting out to Jordi Barrett and we are going to go from there.
Cool.
Qui a manqué son plaquage, Jordi Barrett, et là ça va
Monkey?
Jouer à la course.
Le rebond.
Allez, Antoine. Antoine Dupont, Romain Tamac qui revient. Est-ce qu'il a ramené ce ballon dans son embut? Et il relance.
Bien, Romain.
Accélérant. Allez, Romain. Oh oui, formidable avec Jaminet. Jaminet, il y a un coup à jouer parce que qui est là? Le ministre de l'Intérieur, évidemment. Antoine Dupont, au soutien. Allez, de suite. De l'autre côté d'abord, large. Il y a du monde devant.
These are just noises now.
Yeah.
It's almost Benjamin Kaiser.
When Antomar called it out the back there, and they go, oh, and it's just, that was so uncontrollable. And there's another
Completely.
Point when Jaminet passes to Dupont, and his pitch goes so high that he's about to burst.
My favourite moment, watching it back, as Antomar gives the pass, the immediately beforehand, he's saying, Roman, and, oh,
yeah, that's brilliant.
Like, he screams, he cuts off his name, and from now on, I shall only refer to him as Roman, oh, I won't. I'm going to call him Antomar.
Yeah.
But
I also didn't notice until watching back on that one how much ground he covers to take the kick in the first place. Antomar? Like,
to the kick?
Yeah, to take the kick in behind.
Oh, right. Yes!
I've watched that.
He
covers miles to get there in the first place.
So there's a few details. Yeah, we've only really talked about it in very general terms.
Yeah.
So Antomar starts on about the 22 on the far side of the post.
Mm.
He probably covers about 30, 35 yards. Like,
before he even catches the ball.
And you don't think of Roman Antomar as being the quickest player in the world, do you?
No.
But he covers a lot of ground. He just effortlessly picks it up, beats two people to get there, two French players getting back, who are both chasing laterally, like in a straight line back towards the ball.
Yeah.
And obviously that's a very different situation to him coming in sideways on it.
Yeah.
So he's in a far better position to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So he then runs it from there.
Yeah. And they go, Allez Roman! Which I think is a good detail on the commentary there as well.
Yes.
I'm saying that. I like the... Because there's points in rugby matches where it just calls for a lack of like impartiality, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Where you just have to start being biased. And
especially when you're the only major European nation that speaks this language.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's like how, right, the Welsh commentary is all, Welsh language commentary is always really impartial, and I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't get why it's so impartial.
Sure, sure.
It's more impartial than the English language Welsh coverage.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think that, you know, all the South Africans who are like commenting on like, yeah, you know, or every social media page, you don't think they're listening, do you? You can go on there and say, I think it was, I'm fine with the fact Khaleesi wasn't nominated for World Player of the Year.
Maybe Bradley Roberts was.
Very, very fair.
So I'm next going to move on to Grant Nisbet's commentary.
Yes.
From the Kiwi coverage of the game.
This should be interesting. Have you heard this yet?
No, I have not heard this yet. So I am going to go in a moment from, here we are, from the lineup.
Cool.
You ready?
Yep.
Halfway. Weber. Ball goes across to Ioane. Now Barrett. Puts it on the boot. Now the race is on. Plenty of speedsters. Intermac is back. The All Blacks need to hold him there. They can't though. Oh, brilliant play from Intermac. Oh! Wow! Germany! Now Dupont.
Cheer up, Nisbo.
Almost down to the 22. What a counter that's been. Villiers, the left winger, has the ball. Now away it goes from Babu. Trouble! They've got space here. Wilkie! Wilkie! Ignored the players out to the right. They've got a penalty advantage. Boy, this is classic French rugby.
Oh my god, Nisbo couldn't care less.
Good old Nisbo. So, the really interesting thing there, right, and I'm glad we ran it back as far as we did. The moment at which Nisbo is most excited is Geordie Barrett chasing the kick.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He screams, the chase is on. He's so excited.
Yeah.
And then, Roman Untermack pulls one of the all-time great moments of rugby, and he's like... Yeah,
great play.
Okay, yeah.
I also...
Like,
again,
no, like, I have seen him be more infused about, like, Marty Banks executing a 2-on-1 in an ITM Cup third, fourth playoff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also didn't realise until that time watching it. I knew something new every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just how completely casual Roman Untermack is. Like when he gets the first
touch.
Is that
not the first thing you've noticed?
Well, yeah, 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 it is. But like I really paid attention to the fact that he's basically jogging around Geordie Barrett.
Yeah.
It's a proper canter.
He doesn't look at either of the players he beats.
Yeah, anyway.
He doesn't glance at them.
There is proper rugby challenge vibes to him at the end going, this is typical French rugby.
That majorly is such a shame that Geordie Barrett didn't hit him behind the line because I would have put him on World Ward 4.
Well, I hope not, Robbie. That's the maternity ward.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay. Look, I've made him pregnant. Look, I was just like, I have tried to make this clip pregnant. I mentioned what I did when I woke up this morning. It did not come off. And it's lucky for the rugby world.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
yeah, no, but Grant Nisbet has that major thing of he takes so long between listing the player because clearly the only player that gets the ball there that he recognises instantly is Untermack.
Yes,
right. So the rest of the players, like, he takes a moment before announcing Jaminet's name.
Yeah,
In a way he doesn't need to with the All Blacks players. Yeah. And it's classical of Grant. It's like,
and you wonder why that is.
That was classic French rugby, and it was also classic Grant Nisbet. In that he only knows the All Black players.
Yeah, I didn't care about
And he's looking
else.
Down his team sheet for everyone else. And I enjoy Justin Marshall calling Wokie, you know, assuming Wokie had been in the Loughborough Fifths by yelling for him on.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what on earth he shouted there. I looked at you and went, what?
No. He went, he...
I thought he was just saying, like, Vive la France or something like that.
No, that was... That was
saying
him
Flamont. Which is not
announcing.
He wasn't even on the pitch at this point. Was
I'm
he?
Pretty sure that's what he said.
Should we review
let's,
this?
Let's rewind this. Let's go TMO review.
Yes, Grant, Justin Marshall.
No, Justin
I like
Marshall.
Justin Marshall's involuntary
did make
noise,
the
though.
Noise though.
Yeah,
and but the thing is, he makes it late. So I'm going to begin from Untermack beating Barrett. Right.
Yeah.
Now, by this point, Jaminet is almost up to halfway.
So
why is he taking so...
Now away goes from Balu. Travel! They've got space here.
Travel. Okay, no, he doesn't. Travel!
Sounds like he says.
Is that... There's someone who probably speaks French can probably...
Yeah.
Travel!
Travel?
Travel. I don't know. I'll maybe do a quick Google of it.
Sure.
See if anything comes up. Okay. I've not got any good results here. I assume that was spelled T-A-V-O-N-S, thinking about how the French spell words. And the example that comes up, and I'm going to try and speak French here, is Il a couvert mal quand elle a failli tout avant. And do you want to know what the translation of that is?
What?
He was almost ready to go to jail for Mara when she almost killed Tavon. So they're taking Tavon to be a name. And that's what it's translating into French, a proper noun.
That's outstanding.
So I don't know. I don't have a fucking clue what Justin Marshall's trying to say there.
So I want to make a couple of notes as well, right?
Go on.
I think that Villiers shooting out a line is the greatest bad read in the history of rugby now.
Right? With Richie Mwanga doing the little overhead tap thing. Which was like the fifth coolest thing in this passage of play.
I also, right, so when I was looking at the other angle back, right, and we'll go on to Conor McNamara's commentary in a moment.
Yeah.
But there's another angle that someone shared and I retweeted. Now, you can see for most of this, Jaminet, right? And a lot of this clip, you can see Jaminet behind. And he doesn't shout anything. He doesn't seem to call anything.
Yeah.
He possibly opens his mouth beforehand, but I don't know if those are words, right?
Yeah.
So I'm watching this now, watching this back. He doesn't say anything there. He's then out of shot for a moment.
Yeah.
This is obviously being played in slow motion.
Yeah.
In a loop. Jaminet has his mouth open as he comes into shot there, but I don't know if that's one word.
I reckon he says a word that means blindside once.
Sure.
And that's clearly a one-syllable word. Means either blind side or left or pop or something like that. But the thing is, in that situation, I would be screaming, blind, 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 blind.
Yeah.
You know? So clearly he's really discreetly hiding himself. It's a really good point because before we came on air, you know, we discussed that this is a brilliant support line by Jaminet.
Yes,
it is. It's going to be criminally underrated because the fact that he comes out of shot and pops into like a 5 meter corridor where Ontemac was once to take that pass is sublime. And the fact that Ontemac can throw that pass without even doing as much as looking to his left-hand side to find where Jaminet's meant to be in a minute is incredible, let alone with little communication.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that Ontemac drifts in perfectly. Like, he executes it.
Subtly.
But he doesn't look like he is until you're watching it back.
He drifts in
you
1 or 2
meters.
You
would never guess that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's really good foreshadowing right at your side.
Absolutely.
Because he fixes Tupaier, isn't it?
Yes, Quintipaya, yeah.
But you wouldn't recognise it. It looked like he's just trying to beat him, and also because he's just trying to after his 22. People don't get more ambitious than getting up to 22 from running behind their own line.
And he throws the money ball, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sublime. You're right. Like, the more I watch it, the more I'm super impressed by both of those players' instincts.
Yeah.
Because that is what it is. It's pure instinct, you know? One syllable has been exchanged between the two of them there.
Up until Perpignan being promoted this season, Jaminet had been playing in the Pro Dub. Well, this kind of shit is normal.
Very true.
He's probably just like, oh, they're bloody doing this again.
Yeah.
I thought now I'd got out of the Pro Dub, I wasn't going to do this anymore. You know, the cannibalism stopped, but the mad shit hasn't.
He's just pummeled Riki Ioane off camera.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, he was playing in a league that had box seats a few years ago.
Oh, I wouldn't wish that upon it. In fact, I would.
Yes.
I would. I'd like to play in a league with box seats. Lionel Box seats, if you're listening and you want to play in
Pennant 2
in the Midlands of UK.
This leads us on to another question, right, which is one that I think is important we answer.
Go on.
What do you think Lionel Boxcease would have done in this situation?
That's a really, really good question. Okay, I have an answer. So,
I know exactly what I think he would have done.
Jordy Barrett gets the ball, chips it in behind.
Yeah.
It's bouncing. And it's at that point where it's teetering. It's, you know, about an inch out from the French line. And it sits up perfectly to go into your hands. He volleys it into touch and it goes dead.
So, I think what happens is there's two parallel worlds depending on how the ball bounces, right? Because he is slower than Ontemac, right?
Yes, he is.
So I reckon he gets there slightly later, but he probably still gets there before Dupont.
Yeah.
Okay. So I reckon what happens is if we're going with the world in which he is slower, right? He gets there slightly later, but still probably beats everyone else to it. So what he tries to do is he tries to hack it up into his hands using a foot.
That's quite a good point.
Right.
He tries to rallying it, like I suggested.
He tries to tap it up. He once did it from
He tries to go for an Ontemac level of skill.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did it once in the Heineken Cup playing for Stad.
Yes, where he kicked up the...
Yeah, someone kicked a bomb and he tapped it up himself.
That's beautiful.
It was great, and Sky played it. Sky played the replay constantly in slow motion for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So I reckon that's what he'd try and do if he was slightly slower. If he was on to max pace and he's there to catch it on the foot, the bounce on the foot rather than, you know, just dropping down, I think he gets caught punched on the try line.
Yeah, I think you're probably...
But he probably tries to do a heroic kick.
Yeah, maybe overhead lands, maybe.
It maybe lands in Jordy Barrett's hands.
Yeah, it's highly possible. That's a fun game of WWYD. What would ENL do?
If ENL catches it at the same point Untermack does and has to run back behind his own try line, I would give 50-50 odds in the All Blacks scoring from 40 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's generous.
Yeah. You know?
I like that. I think we should apply that logic more. Filter of ENL.
So if Matthew Jalibert was the one taking the ball, he absolutely would have tried to run it out, but I don't think he'd manage it.
No, I think he'd have grounded the ball.
I think he'd have tried to step someone traditionally rather than arcing it the way Antomac does.
Yeah. He'd have maybe gone for the whole, like, the classic Lucas Morosino style, fade one way and then dot the other.
I also think he wouldn't have been as willing. Like, Untermack is so cool about it that he's willing to run backwards and take up the entire space of the try zone to beat his man, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I reckon Jalibert would be slightly more conventional in that he wouldn't want to run backwards like that.
Sure.
And he would probably try and regather the ball and then step out from there before he goes back over the line. He'd try to do, like, a swift change of direction.
I've got an idea. I'm going to name a player, and without skipping a beat, you're going to tell me in a sentence what they would do in that situation.
Let's do it.
Jean-Marc Doucin.
Jean-Marc Doucin would absolutely grab the ball and be smashed behind his own line.
Okay.
And concede a scrum five.
Okay. Mathieu Bello
would have tried to kick it and made it up to the 5 metre line at most.
Remy Tellez
would have tried to kick. No, Remy Tellez would have got caught behind his own line, span a bit, tried to see if he could offload, and no one would have been back.
Two more. Jeffrey Police.
Jeffrey Police would have taken the ball cleanly, turned around, seen the All Blacks coming, and just given it to Barrett.
Yeah, it's like you held it holding your ransom or something.
Oh, did you want this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, last one.
You worked really hard to get it. Like, I was just here. It just landed in my hands.
Last one, Jefferson Poirot.
Jefferson Poirot would have declared mutiny and declared the ball his new beautiful thing. His new beautiful thing. And he would have, all the French team would have said that the ball should be captain instead of him.
Okay. That was a good game. I think you responded very well there. And I've not edited down how long it took you to say those. Those were genuine, in a beat, you answered all of those questions, which I'm very impressed with. So well done.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Should we do Conor McNamara's comment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Also, I've had this looping.
We've had this looping.
And it's just so good. I just keep staring
at it. It's not got old yet. There's points where I still just turn around and I spot new people in the crowd. Like, there's one guy who has his mask, like, hanging down.
So, the other thing...
Whose mouth is, like, his jaw is dropped.
My favourite is there's a guy who is banging the sideboard as he starts running it out. He's my favourite guy. And the guy next to him's got a French flag and just looks completely transfixed.
Yeah.
But the best thing is, right, the past the thing cuts off just as the pass is given.
Yeah.
And you can see mouths drop and then the gift ends and it cuts back to the
jaws
beginning.
Jaws falling off.
Like, let's just, yeah. So there's a woman who looks away, right? She looks away and then looks back up. And then suddenly, like, oh, what's going on?
There's a guy really nervously clutching a French flag.
There's one guy who you can see sort of as the pass comes in and his mouth drops open.
Yeah.
He then, like, his hands grip. Like, it goes from being open to being part, like, fists. That's a good one.
It's funny that there's, like, two or three people who look like their face is completely expressionless. And you realise they're wearing masks that are, like, you, so you can only see their eyes. And even though you're thinking, like, they probably enjoyed that.
And the guy banging the side.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Like, you can then see him, he comes back into shot at the end. And he throws his arms up from the sideboard. And they're clearly going in the air.
Yeah.
In disbelief as the pass comes in.
Yeah. Should we do Conor McNamara's commentary?
Let's do Conor McNamara's commentary.
Dangerous New Zealand are on the counter-attack. Excellent hands from Quintupaya. Oh. Rico Ayane. Kicked on by Barrett.
Wayani.
Two in pursuit.
Wayani.
Dupont needs pace here. And Tamak. To the other, France bear down on New Zealand's 22. Villiers presents it back. There are numbers out the other side. Ntamack, Wopi, Pino outside him. Wopi dragged down 7 meters from the line. There's an advantage coming.
There's a lot of very fun background noises going on there that you can just about hear.
Conor McNamara's commentary on that, I think, gets better as it goes on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he isn't really reacting to him running out of hands.
He's trying to stay composed, isn't
he? Yeah. And then the pass comes, and he gets as excited as everyone else.
Yeah.
Not as excited as Benjamin Kaiser, who you can hear in the background.
Yeah, go, oh!
You can then hear him shouting, wow, 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 repeatedly.
Yeah. Everything that happens, he's shouting that, not just the pass. Like, he's clearly on that adrenaline high of, like, he's just witnessed the pass, and everything is suddenly amazing.
For anyone who didn't watch the game on Amazon Prime, and I think that'll be the majority of our listeners, will have seen it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
But the whole way through the game, you could hear Benjamin Kaiser off mic just making what Sam Roberts, friend of the pod, referred to on Twitter as sex noises.
Yes.
And I think it's the most accurate description.
Yeah, especially after that
and
pass.
And definitely not noises I have made since when watching the game back. It was honestly made the game far better.
Yeah, it genuinely did. And, you know, the thing you made the point later that, like, on a real note, this is what kind of gave France the bit of momentum to get back
in the
game. I think that's probably the reason why they won it in the end, is because they had that one moment where suddenly it was like, oh, yeah, we're the team in control. We can do literally anything now.
If they don't do this, I don't know if they win the game.
No, I agree. 100% agreed. 100%.
You know, if they don't do something, they need to do something almost immediately.
Yeah.
And if Ntamack doesn't do this, they're probably getting trapped behind their own line.
100%.
Instead, it turns the momentum of the game completely.
Yeah.
And they needed the moment, you know? And you felt like at the time it could be a big tackle, it could be a break, it could be the intercept, like the eventual goal.
Not to, like, spoil a potential point in your video, but I feel like that is, you know, that's a very... It is the turning point of the second half.
Absolutely.
You know, just as I say, they have all the momentum, and then suddenly it's like, oh yeah, France are unstoppable. No, if they can do this against the All Blacks, then they're going to batter them. And they did. Well, not batter them. They won by 15 points. But, yeah.
No, I completely, completely agree. And that's basically a battering by New Zealand standards. Instead, it's only, like, 7 points off their biggest ever loss.
Sure.
So, should we do Nick Heath's commentary next?
Yeah, let's do it.
...from Yarani, and Barrett with the kick downfield. Mwanga giving chase, as is Weber. Dupont looking to cover. And Ntamack in his own goal area. Where's he going? And Ntamack is screaming at the 22. Oh. And the reverse ball for Jaminet. France get up to the 22. Villiers.
Now, I'm not just saying this because he's friend of the pod and everything.
Yeah.
I think Nick Heath is my favourite.
Me too. I was just about to say that.
French commentary is excellent, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Maybe on par, but I think Nick Heath gets the most on our level of excitement,
yes.
I think. I think he channels the rest of us.
I think taken up in the... And this is... I don't mean to... just got caught up in, like, you're talking about them abstractly, and I'm like, oh no, it's Nick, isn't it?
Yeah,
As, you know, someone I... Yeah, no. But yeah, there you are.
Good guy.
Brilliant guy. But he gets caught up in the moment, I think, in the way, as you say, everyone else does. And he just keeps talking.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the moment kind of deserves.
Yeah.
And after we finished recording, Jamie Lyle, who was on the previous episode, who, you know, obviously people have heard, brilliant sort of Scottish commentator, has been in a lot of the Amazon Prime games, did Scotland against Japan at this weekend. He talked about how one of the things he wants to work on is learning when not to talk.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he was saying, like, sometimes he got very used to doing games without a crowd, and sometimes you're just trying to fill the sounds, fill the time. Where sometimes the crowd can do it for you. And I think this is a moment that doesn't want that. You know,
no,
it doesn't want the crowd reacting. It wants someone reacting
get carried away,
viciously,
like, yeah,
as Nick Heath does and as the French comms do.
Do you know who is on the backing comms, on the co-comms with him? Because there's an excellent involuntary noise goes on the background.
I don't know, to be honest.
I assume it's someone like Tom May or someone I know they work together quite a lot.
Do a lot of the board feed stuff.
Probably someone like him. But they're a good set of involuntary noises to accompany Nick's very smooth commentary of what's going on here.
Now, I'm just going to let the break play a few times on a loop with commentary off, right?
Yeah.
And I want this to be our final segment of the show. Because we have done a lot of time on one moment.
Yeah.
But we can. So Untermack starts so far away, he has to cover probably about 40 metres to get back here.
Yeah.
I also want to just go back a moment. We'll see it again. But Brad Webber goes completely the wrong direction trying to make the tackle. So Untermack starts, he stood on the 22 metre line, right?
Yeah.
He's on the far side of the post. He covers back. There's probably about 30 metres he has to run end of. But yeah, Brad Webber runs in the opposite direction away from him. But there's a moment, right, where there's DuPont's support line is phenomenal from the start, because he starts running up on the inside and he's looking at Jaminet where no one else is.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even Untermack is looking at Jaminet.
That is a superhuman support line, isn't it? To anticipate that might happen deserves a lot of credit, because that is, it's not just your standard scrum off cheat line where you anticipate a line break. That is, I'm anticipating that my halfback partner will do exactly this and then somehow fire a ball out on the blind side.
Now,
I've just spotted Kyle Fiku standing on the sideline, not really knowing what's going on, and Jaminet runs past him.
I want to point out Villiers, who looks knackered, because he is jogging in a way you only do when you're absolutely spent.
Sure.
And I know he's just had to cover a lot of ground, because he has to sprint back and then forward and then back and then forward.
Yeah.
But also, you know, he's a professional athlete.
Sure.
And he should be conditioned to be able to do this at 60 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you... Sorry, you were going to point out...
Garfinkel there.
Oh, yeah. Garfinkel's on the sideline. Why doesn't he join up?
I don't know. I think he's knackered.
Yeah, but he could just sprint up from there.
But
there's
but
no
also,
offside rule there.
Yeah, if I was on the pitch, I would be probably in shock.
Sure.
He had the best seat in the house. He was literally right next to the pass that happened. He was inches away.
So he dives for Jordi Barrett.
Yeah.
And he then gets back up and jogs back about 15 metres.
Yeah.
And then he's not quite in support.
As you're listening to this, as the pass happens, or just before it happens, just look on the outside of Jaminet on the touchline. Garfinkel is stood there motionless.
I still think, right, Jaminet gets it slightly wrong. He eats up some of DuPont's space. He wants to drift out a bit, then give the pass, and DuPont scores.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think if he drifts out slightly, he has to slightly accommodate on the pass and maybe throw it slightly more loopier.
He wants to commit the defender like by turning their shoulder, which he doesn't force them to do, which Undermatt does perfectly here in Tupayala.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't change anything about this. I know what you're saying. He maybe gives it half a second too soon or runs, you know, just half an inch in the wrong direction or something. But it is what it is.
I also think Villiers gets his decision-making wrong there. But also they're just trying to secure the ball.
They are. And, you know, we've watched this a lot of times. And
we'll watch it a lot more
as the first time.
Yeah.
And we've spent 43 minutes talking about it so far.
And some of it's about Vicky McClure.
Of course, about, you know, what's it, 20-second clip that we've got on repeat here. So, you know, that's some pretty good going.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just one of the most impressive and greatest pieces of stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Richie Mwanga hairing up alongside. DuPont actually runs quite a smart block on him as well.
Mm.
I mean, I'm just still in awe of it.
Yeah.
Untermack glances at DuPont, right? And that is obviously, if you're an All Black, where you're going. But those are the only two Frenchmen you can spot when you're looking at that.
Sure, sure.
You don't notice Jaminet at all.
No.
And Jaminet picks
his
line so late.
Again, he deserves a lot of credit for this.
Yeah. He picks it so late.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it this one time, right? And I'm going to try and see if you can see his mouth at all moving or see him calling anything. Because I don't... Again, you can't see it on the other angle.
No, you can't see it. It's too far out. It's too wide an angle. Again, I think he says one syllable.
Yeah.
And that's it. Which
ball.
Is remarkable. Yes.
which is English as well. So ballon.
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, maybe he's speaking the wrong language.
And that's why he knows that he has to go outside. Whereas if he speaks French, he goes inside.
What?
It's the call. is just to speak English.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, okay, okay. Gotcha. Well done leaking France's tactics, bro.
That's all right. So I think that pretty much brings us to
a close. I think it does. I think we've spoken for a long time.
We've
now
comprehensively covered-ish the Roman Antomac Pass.
Yeah. Not done it justice.
Join us next week when we will cover it all over again.
Join us next week when we talk about one pass Antoine Dupont did from the base inside his own 22 to clear the ball.
For 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously we've got the ongoing series on the 1987 Rugby World Cup. We have every... We've done an episode on every match from the 2011 World Cup, if you want to go back and listen to those.
Yeah.
And we're doing every episode, every game from the 2019-87 year of rugby.
So and it's all really bad rugby. Like, it's all like most of the opposite of this.
Most of it is terrible. I thought France v Scotland was pretty fun.
Oh, that was actually quite good, yeah.
So we've got four of those up so far, if you want to go and listen to those. We've got more coming in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
But we also want to try and do some stuff like this on miscellaneous rugby content, which will be going out from this point onwards, exclusively pretty much for Patreons. It was a thing we were planning on doing post the Autumn Internationals. It is now post the Autumn Internationals. This is a clip we're talking about from the final Autumn International, because either don't exist. And we are going to cover some more stuff, so we'll be running through a list of those coming very soon. If anyone wants to join the Patreon thing, there'll be a separate feed for that, and that will be coming very soon. All that stands otherwise to say is thank you very much, Mr. William Owen. How are you
thank
doing?
Thank you. Yeah, all right, thank you, because I'm still watching this clip.
All the better for watching this repeatedly.
Yeah.
And we will see you soon for more 1987 and also some 2021 and other years.
Yes.
Please, bye!
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.